Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, February 3rd. Two-thirds of the players in the National Football League are black. But head coaches, of the 32 teams, just one black head coach. And that's after 20 years of a rule requiring candidates of color to at least be interviewed for those positions and the obvious pipeline of qualified people coming from the ranks of the player squads. In fact, the National Football League is, quote, managed like a plantation. That's how former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, by the way, characterized the league in a class action lawsuit alleging racism in hiring and firing practices against the NFL and three teams, including the New York Giants, on Tuesday. The lawsuit goes on to say that the NFL's 32 owners, none of whom are black, watch the games from atop NFL stadiums in their luxury boxes while their majority black workforce put their bodies on the line, taking vicious hits and suffering debilitating injuries to their bodies and their brains while the NFL and its owners reap billions of dollars. Many players desire to coach for their post-playing careers. Unfortunately for black individuals, that is easier said than done, unquote, from the Brian Flores lawsuit. Here's a clip of Coach Flores on ESPN show Get Up yesterday explaining the basis for the lawsuit as he sees it.
We need change. You know, the hiring practices in the International Football League, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, there's one black head coach. The league's filled with 70% of, you know, black players. I know there are capable coaches in this league to lead teams. I have some on my staff. I know, you know, the majority of them, I would say. I know what kind of integrity and character and leadership that they have, and they deserve an opportunity. A real opportunity, not a Rooney Rule opportunity where a box is checked.
The Rooney Rule that Flores is referring to is what I referred to before. It makes it mandatory for NFL teams to interview ethnic minority candidates for head coaching jobs. That was adopted back in 2003 to address the racial disparities for head coaching and other positions, and the fact that at the time there were only three black head coaches. Well, fast forward 19 years to today, and now there's just one black head coach. So some good the Rooney Rule did. And Flores alleges the black coaches are now just being given sham interviews to satisfy the rule. Meanwhile, compare those numbers to the NBA, where 12 teams out of the 30 have black head coaches. So why the difference and where's the progress? Here's another clip of Flores describing why he's risked his career and future job prospects to go public and sue the league.
This isn't about me. This is bigger than football. This is about equal opportunity for qualified, black candidates, not just in football, but, you know, everywhere in all industries.
Everywhere. In all industries. So will the Brian Flores lawsuit force a racial reckoning in the NFL? Well, that's the title of our next guest's latest piece in The Undefeated. Joining us now is William Roden, columnist for The Undefeated and former longtime sports columnist at the New York Times, as many of you New York sports readers know, and author of the book from back in 2007, $40 Million Slaves, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Black Athlete. Bill, it's always great to have you on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, how are you doing? It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
At the center of this lawsuit is a text message sort of mistakenly sent to the wrong person by Bill Belichick, the legendary coach of the New England Patriots. Maybe you could start there for the people who don't follow sports and don't know this story yet. What did Bill Belichick's text message say, and what does it prove according to Brian Flores' lawsuit?
Yeah, well, what it proves is that Belichick is a better coach than he is a texter on social media.
It's just that as a starting point.
Yeah, but what it does, and it's so, what's so wonderful about this is that, you know, for years, many of us have been suspecting, talked about the Rooney Rule and these sham interviews, but there's never any proof. This offers proof because Belichick texts Brian Daboll, who was going to be the, he thought that he was texting the New York Giants, Brian, congratulating him. Instead, he was texting Brian Flores. And this was 2 days before Flores was supposed to be interviewed for the head coaching job. So in other words, the Giants had already made their decision in direct conflict with the Rooney Rule, in that you're supposed to interview black candidates before you make their rules. But this is what a lot of teams have been doing probably in the 20 years that the Rooney Rule is enforced. They already knew the person they were going to hire, usually white male, and they would have their sort of list of likely candidates to come in and interview. So what this does is more than the smoking gun, it's actually the bullet that Flores came up with. So it really begins to put meat on the bone. And, you know, it's so hard to prove racism. You know, I mean, the Giants, I think this may be their third or fourth white head coach in a row. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to the clips, every year it's the same thing. You know, best candidate. This is going to be a game changer. This is a guy that two years later, they fire him. And this has sort of been the frustration of this process for those of us who have covered this for decades, man. And the other thing I'll say, Brian, you know, you started the show talking about the percentage of black players, the 70% of the league is black players. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that number means absolutely nothing if that 70% remains quiet, it remains mute, and that they don't step up. And that's the problem that we've had, whether it was Colin Kaepernick kneeling or now this, that 70% of black players, or even the 3% of star black players, have remained deaf and dumb. They have not stepped up. They've not been encouraged to step up by Damora Smith, who runs the Players Association, to let the ownership know that, man, this is an insult to all of us, because a lot of these guys do want to coach. They do want to, you know, they do want to be involved in coaching in the front office. But what these owners are basically telling the black players is that, listen, you guys tote that barge, lift that bail, you run and you jump, we'll run the league. And, you know, I think that the significance of this suit is that these guys, these multi-billionaires are only going to do things when they're forced to do things or when they're embarrassed. And I think right now, the fact that this is in the court and we're going into the Super Bowl is more of an embarrassment. So we'll see how they push back.
Certainly an interesting moment for competing storylines, with the Super Bowl just a week and a few days away. Let's talk more about the Rooney Rule and this notion of a sham interview. That term, sham interview, is used in Flores' lawsuit a number of times, and the Bill Belichick text that we just talked about seems to be pretty strong evidence that the Giants had already selected who their new head coach was going to be before they even interviewed Brian Flores under the Rooney Rule requirement. But what about the rule itself? 19 years ago, when it went into effect, there were 3 black head coaches. Today, 1 black head coach. So did the Rooney Rule prove ineffective? Duh. But worse, did it prove a negative in any way?
Well, I don't think it was a negative. I mean, you know, black players have had a very long and complicated history with the National Football League. You know, the league excluded black players from the mid-30s until 1946, when the Los Angeles Rams, under pressure, by the way, hired 2 black players, Kenny Washington and Woody Strode. That's the only way that the Rams, who moved from Cleveland to Los Angeles, were going to be permitted to play in the Memorial Coliseum, which was, you know, municipally, it was owned by the city. So, you know, there's sort of been this long, long, long meandering thing. And the Rooney Rule was just one more step in that evolution, because before that, man, it was like a desert. You know, they were just not going to, there was no way they were going to hire black people. So at least the Rooney Rule was a step to at least put in some kind of structure that said that at least you guys, you owners, have to at least interview a black candidate, and a minority candidate, rather. And so that was fine. I mean, it was sort of revolutionary at the time. And of course, you know, these people immediately said, well, that's okay, cool, we'll do it. And they immediately went about circumventing the rule by saying, okay, here are likely suspects. We'll interview some Black folks. They're not going to get the job, but we'll interview them because that's what the rule says. And I guess the problem, Brian, that you've dealt with probably most of your career when you deal with these issues is that, unfortunately, you can't legislate people's hearts. You know, you could pass all kinds of rules, but you can't legislate in people's hearts that they do the right thing.
Hearts or biased perceptions, because there are probably a lot of people who think, well, I have no interest in locking out Black people from important jobs just because they're Black. I don't have hate in my heart. Mm-hmm. But they don't see the qualified Black people as qualified as the qualified white people.
Yeah, I mean, it precisely. And I think that sports is sort of the perfect metaphor for this, is that we see you as running backs, you know, and we see you as wide receivers and defensive players and making these great physical players. We do not see you as the face of our corporation. Now the Giants did have, they hired Jerry Reese, Jerry Reese as a general manager. And Jerry Reese was part of building two Super Bowl winning teams for the Giants. But again, it's remarkable that his name has not been mentioned. So the Giants did do that, but I think you're right. You know, we see you as players. We don't see you as a face of our organization.
Let me jump ahead to a certain point in the story and just ask you why you think it's different in the NBA, where 12 of the 30 head coaches are Black.
Well, I think, and even in the NBA, Brian, to be honest with you, I mean, the NBA is almost 80% of Black players. And I think if things were really fair, the NBA would probably have like 20 Black coaches, you know, if things were fair. So, and I think the perception is that the NBA is more enlightened. I would question that. I think if you would walk through the halls of most NBA teams and through NBA headquarters, and you looked at the legal department, the marketing department, all the departments, I think you'd still be stunned that to find out that it's still a largely white-run league. But the perception of the NBA is that it's better. But I think that if the NBA were really, really better, you'd have almost three times as many Black folks in the executive suite, and you'd have probably about 10 or 11 or 12 more Black head coaches. So I see what you're saying, but it's the perception that the NBA is further ahead. But I think at the end of the day, man, I think that both of these leagues are still predominantly white run, and it's the whole thing of like Black labor, white wealth, and I think that's what we're up against. But the NBA, but if you just, you're going to compare the NBA with the NFL, yes, I think the NBA seems like it's light years ahead, but that's because the bar is so low.
Let me take a phone call for you. Raphael, in Franklin Square. Sorry about that. In Franklin Square on Long Island, you're on WNYC with Bill Roden from The Undefeated. Hi, Raphael.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I think one of the things that's really interesting about this whole situation is that there's a big movement in other areas of society about equality of opportunity. Like, just give people an opportunity, and that's all people really need. But this is clearly, to me, an example of just giving an opportunity isn't quite enough. It just gives them an opportunity to experience more racism. And when you have structures in place that sort of absolve individuals of their choices, if the structure itself is going to allow for opportunity to still be the opportunity to experience racism, it's the structure that needs to change, which is why this lawsuit hopefully can do some damage.
What kind of structure, Raphael, do you have in mind? Like, how can they revise this structure?
I think it's got to be, you know, there's so few Black quarterback coaches. There's so few Black or minority special teams coaches. Mm-hmm. And that's where the pool of new coaches comes from. So it's, and the relationships that are built while they're kind of under, you know, the head coaching level, that's hopefully what can help allow more people to rise to these sort of more leadership positions. And I think it's just, that tells me that there's an entire culture of kind of dismissing these candidates from way earlier on. And if that structure is addressed, maybe some changes can be made.
Raphael, thank you very much. Jason in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I mean, if you look at people like Patrick Mahomes, I mean, there's been tremendous change in the NFL over the years. And when I was a kid growing up, every quarterback was white and every coach was white and most of the players were white. And the NFL has celebrated the rising up of tremendous talent. And I don't think they're looking at race specifically. They want to win. They want to make money. They're a billion-dollar company. And I think that we have to live in a world where people are judged by not the color of their skin, by the content of their character. And in the case of the New York Giants, the coach that was hired was the most sought-after coach. He was hired because he was coming from the Bills, who were a tremendous success story over the years. He wasn't hired because he was white. So I think racism can work in both ways, and you have to hire people that are the most qualified, and you can't just hand out tokens to people because of their race. And if that means blacks or whites are hired, whatever it ends up being, we need to celebrate success and live in a world of meritocracy.
Do you think go ahead, Bill. You want to engage with Jason?
Just with all due respect, I think that's nonsense. I think that just rationalizes the Giants' their own racism. I mean, they said that every time they've hired a white coach, the same thing. This is the most desired guy. He's a defensive genius, or he's an offensive genius, or he's whatever it is we need to not hire a black person. So I think that you could say that and you could rationalize that. But what you're doing and what the NFL does is that they're arguing for their own limitations. And the caller is exactly right, Brian. In 1946, black players were kept out of the National Football League. There was a gentleman's agreement that kept them out. And the NFL will look back and say, Jesus, the addition of black players has been why this league is so successful. The addition of black quarterbacks has been why this league is so entertaining. And I think there will probably come a time, maybe 30 years from now, when there will be like maybe 15 black head coaches and executives that say, man, if we would have just done this 20 years ago, we would have been in a much better place. So you're right. And he can say the same thing about this nation. It's a slow, painful evolution, but you got to get out of your way. You got to put away this racism. And to the caller's point, or my point to the caller, is that you cannot justify racism. And that's what you're doing.
Just take a few seconds, Bill, and tell us if there's anything in particular that can be done to fix the Rooney Rule, or to the first caller's point, make it even more structurally difficult to wind up with this imbalance?
Yeah, Brian, just briefly, I think that this suit is a first major step in changing and altering the Rooney Rule. And I think the suit also is going to force the NFL's hand, because billionaires will only move when they have to move. So I think that's why this suit is very, very important. But it's just the first step. And the second step will be the black players actually raising their voices in support of Brian Flores and his suit.
And we should say that the NFL denies everything through their lawyer. Do you think this is going to wind up in court, if you give me about a 10-second answer? Or are they going to settle, which might be bad? It might make it go away too quickly.
No. I think that unlike Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, who did settle, I think Flores wants this brawl to be out in public. And I hope that's where it stays. We need a big public Super Bowl-like brawl.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.